This is T. Cooper.
And Allison Glock Cooper.
Writers of Season 10, Episode 5, The Dockery Affair. You're listening to The Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
Normally we don't talk about Bruno, but this week we will on the award-winning The Blacklist Exposed podcast. Greetings one and all, I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs.
And I am Agent Aaron Peterson, and just remember, victory never sleeps, suckus! Thanks for joining us yet again on the final season of The Blacklist for No Number, The Dockery Affair, which was written by T. Cooper and Allison Glock Cooper, and directed by Ruben Garcia. Show notes and other intel for this episode of The Blacklist Exposed can be found at theblacklistexposed.com.
If you're new here, welcome. Glad you are along for the final ride of The Blacklist and The Blacklist Exposed. What we do here is we go over some news from last week with our profiling question of the week. Then we get into this week's case profile, where we talk about Bruno. And then we will get into all the thoughts from you, the fans, in our special agent intel. But last week we needed to know, was Robert Vesco going to turn on Red? We know this comes up usually pretty quickly, and sure enough, it did this week. So, did he or did he not, Aaron?
Well, did he or did he not? The episode, it appears that he did, but you don't actually get confirmation that he does. It feels, because you don't hear the conversation he had with Red, right? Where Red explained what's going on. So, to me, it feels very much like a bait and switch, that he's going to be Red's double agent, essentially, with Wu Jing. We'll see. What you guys said, 66% of you said, hell no, he's not going to turn on Red. And 34% of you said, yep, he's definitely going to. So the answer's not there just yet. I think it's a little too early to call it. Yeah. What you say?
TV 101, because we didn't see the conversation between Red and Robert. Clearly, that means that Robert's going to be the double agent on the inside.
Mm-hmm. And probably get himself killed.
Oh, that'd be sad.
Isn't that what happens to everybody Red sends in as a double agent?
It's anybody that Red talks to you on a regular basis.
Yeah, we're still waiting for Cooper to bite it and Wrestler to bite it and everybody else to bite it.
I know. I'm so worried for Herbie's kid.
Me too. It was kind of cute seeing him run around and be a dad. So question for next week. This is a legitimate question. We're in the final season, so I think it's a fair question. Are you a fan of blacklisters that are not connected to Red? Or simple yes or no.
Don't bring Red any kind of benefit.
Yep.
At all.
Are you a fan of blacklisters that are not connected to Red? They're not a number, essentially.
Yeah. Especially a non-numbered episode like this one, which we'll get into in our case profile, because we need to do that before Hurry's baby wakes up again. So let's go ahead and get into it.
Kid does wake up a lot, right?
I like to see his, like, can't hear you, what?
You remember having a baby?
I do. Sure do.
It sucked. God, it sucked.
Well, except for my son. My son, I usually get 6 hours of sleep. So I had an alarm set. So every 3 hours of the evening, I would, basically 3 hours, I'd set an alarm. I'd wake the kid up, whether the kid wanted to wake up or not. Feed him, change him, put him back down, slept another 3 hours. I was perfectly fine. He was like clockwork.
I just know my kids and a lot of people that I know are always talking about grandkids, right? Like they want, you want grandkids. I'm like, why would I want to do that again? I'm in no hurry. Take your sweet ass time.
Yeah. If you don't have a kid till you're 40, kids, that's that. Great.
I was a young dad. I don't need to do this again just yet. Down the road. Sure. Down the road. Yeah. Herbie looks so tired. I don't want to be that tired.
And hopefully I've made enough money in my retirement account that I'll be more than happy to pay for daycare instead of coming to my place.
The only time I want to be that tired is if I was out at till 2 a.m. just living it up, pretending like I'm 25 years old when I'm not. That's what I want. That's the stories I want now.
I did that this past weekend and I'm tired this morning.
It's because you're not a young pup anymore.
I sure am not.
You got Herbie by two. All right. Well, maybe you're not two, but 1.5. all right, so I guess you guys want to talk about the blacklist, right? It's probably why you tuned in. Judge Dockery calls a detective to finds her dead and the word Bruno on her laptop. That's how we kick off this episode of The Blacklist. And I do want to say, No Number, So walking into this, you know it's probably going to be a little bit of a standalone. But is this the kind of episode that you wanted to see, where this Bruno family are seen as the hitters? Herbie is the one that used to work with Red, who's calling in a favor from Red, that he's gonna be part of the team defending Bruno and needs Red's help. But before he does, he wants to be sure about the fact that it's not really Bruno's son that is helping. So what do you think? Did this feel like a Blacklist episode to you?
No. This one's kind of a disappointment, I think. I know we've already had a no-numbered episode already to start the season, and then we have another no-number here, and the no-numbers in the Blacklist lore were always reserved for mythology-based episodes, and since the mythology is over, I think this clearly tells the fans, hey, the mythology is over, because this has nothing to do with Red at all. At all. And it's mm-hmm. just disappointing, to be frank, especially in the final season of the show.
Yeah, disappointing for the perspective of the final season, right? It's just, I actually thought the episode was enjoyable. Like, I enjoyed the episode. It just didn't feel like Blacklist. It felt, I don't mean this as a slight, because I watch this show all the time, but it felt more like Law and Order.
Yeah.
I kept waiting for a da-dum at some point.
I was waiting for our friends, Kevin and crew, on These Are Their Stories, the Law and Order podcast.
They just chime in. Yeah, it was, I mean, that's what I would say would be disappointing, because it just didn't feel like Blacklist. Like, there's a certain kind of story that gets told in Blacklist, a little bit darker. There's a little bit more of an edge to it. And I don't feel like that was really here. It felt much more, don't get me wrong, I like the lightness. I like Sia with the baby and Herbie. I thought those moments were funny.
Yeah, this was on
Red holding the baby. That was adorable.
Any other show, this is great TV. But for Blacklist final season, does not fit Blacklist final season.
Yeah, I want more edge, I guess. Like, more momentum as we corral down the train, down the train tracks toward the final station. And I just feel like this didn't have anything to do with anything going on. It was really just you know, when we talk about a filler episode, this is a filler episode, because it has nothing to do with the overall season.
Right.
Or show, really.
Because we had break Vesco out of jail, bring Vesco up to speed, bring Vesco to Wu Jing. It's like, okay, well, this is basically the Vesco arc at this point, because this is the third episode Vesco's been in. Vesco's been in it more than Red's been in it.
Red's Spader's getting a little bit of a break on his final season.
Yeah.
Taking some time off. So it was interesting. I still like the episode, though. It just, like I said, it just didn't feel quite like the Blacklist. The Dockery murder, and they don't think Bruno's son did this, and Herbie thinks the NYPD got it wrong. Turns out the judge was paralyzed, so Bruno wasn't from her. She wasn't the one who typed Bruno. She couldn't have. I don't know how that's quite possible to know that for sure. Because she could have been paralyzed after she typed Bruno, but, you know, it's TV.
Yeah, it works for the explanation of what happened later in the episode.
Yeah, because, I mean, yeah, you can go with time of death and all that, but the time of death was the same time roughly that was being typed, so it's, that's a totally a TV thing. It's kind of like, oh yeah, we got DNA results back from 2 hours ago.
Right.
It's impossible. It's impossible. All right, so she was having an affair, we learn out. From Senior Detective Patrick Fleming, who believes it was definitely Bruno Jr. And then we find out that a Mr. Moody had been threatening the judge. So then they start looking at that angle. And that leads them to a young woman, Emma Moody, who disappeared. And the Moodys believe the judge let the murderer walk. What? They find a picture of flowers that were also found at the murdered judge's scene. And then Sia reaches out to Herbie, who recognizes a connection in the flowers. See, it's all coming together. This leads them to Anton Johnston, who was actually interviewed earlier in the episode. So he has been part of the episode. And I will say, they did one better than Law and Order, because they actually had multiple suspects that were weird. So it could have been any of those people. Where usually Law and Order, it's like two. And if it wasn't the first one, it'll be the next one.
Right.
That's usually how that works. Well, this guy, once they realize that, oh no, it's Anton Johnston, we find out that he literally just drugged a lady. I mean, literally. They show up and there's already a drugged lady up in the bedroom. Wild? That's a wild turn of events, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Like, he's just moving on because he had a little bit of a disagreement with his past lover. So he's going to go and swipe on Tinder or Bumble or Hinge or one of those other apps and find somebody else to come and check out his beautiful garden before she becomes part of the garden.
Yeah, it's so weird. He's under suspicion for murder. So that makes him dumb, number one. He's just got investigated for murder, and now he's going to go off and murder somebody else. I mean, I guess he really can't control himself. But, you know, such is life. Well, they get there, of course. Yeah, Wrestler and Sia both get there. And it turns out that Moody... Anton Johnson says that Moody savagely attacked him after the trial. He apparently was on intimate terms with Dockery, and then Wrestler sees the flowers when Wrestler and Sia go there to investigate, which happens to be at the exact same time that this woman is unconscious up in the bedroom.
Which is the exact same Sia, time that Herbie figures out the connection of why the flowers look so pretty.
Yeah, because they were planted over corpses, because that only happens when you've got dead bodies in the soil. Of course.
Right.
So, turns out Dockery had an affair with Anton Johnson. Okay. I just want to point out what a no-no that is. That's like against every ethical quandary. I love you. They're throwing that around. I'm like, how is this relationship going to work? You can never admit it because she'll lose her seat on the bench for sure. She'll be disbarred. It feels like an awful big risk for a judge, but people make big mistakes all the time. Sia figures out that this guy's a dog. And then Wrestler catches him. They find a couple bodies, his mother, and Emma. Man, he killed his mom, too.
Yeah.
Ugh. So, what is this? It's messed up.
Yeah, but it has nothing to do with Red.
No. All that was actually interesting stuff, and it would have been kind of a cool Law and Order episode, honestly. But, yeah, it doesn't have really anything to do with Red. The only connection to Red is he's doing a favor for Herbie, who's helped him out in the past, and maybe Herbie will come back. Because I do enjoy Herbie. I like Herbie as a character.
Herbie's like the new...
Weird dude.
Herbie's like the new Rom to fill in the space.
Yeah. Weird dude, but good at what he does.
Yeah. I like him. He's cool.
So overall, like, that's the actual Blacklist story. We did have some Blacklisting stuff, but... I mean, what did you think overall of the episode as a whole?
It's basically TV 101, where you have the father who's all upset because the killer got away, and then you have the weeping mother sitting next to him, and she's got the necklace on, and of course the necklace is like the key piece of the investigation, because you see that they both had one and shared it, and it's very by the numbers, you know. I like the Blacklistery twist of the decomposing bodies in the flower garden in order to give you something quote unquote creepy for the episode to be more Blacklist fair. You know, but at the end of the day, it's very simple and probably easy to figure out. And it's not bad television, but you can definitely see like we are in the 10th season. I mean, even Dembe got a vacation day today to save on budget dollars. Because he wasn't in the episode at all. No music again, as always, that we've been noticing this season. So, yeah, it's good TV, but it's not what I think fans are expecting after a 10-year run.
He did get a sick day, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He might have actually been sick. I don't know. Like,
Hisham was probably off. You know, maybe he had something going on. I mean,
snowboarding championships.
You're in the 10th season. Yeah, could be. It's some winter sports going on. Could have been. Well, I mean, that's the episode. It's still enjoyable. I didn't dislike the episode. I did enjoy the episode. So I hope it doesn't come across as disdain. It just doesn't feel like Blacklist, final season Blacklist. When I want to get there. I want to start that roller coaster. I want to start seeing these, you know, Red Vengers come together, and I want to start seeing that connection where they're going after it, that what we were promised, I guess, in the finale. I mean, we've seen a little bit of it, but not much.
Is it Red Vengers or is it Red Bolts? Is it more Thunderbolts than Avengers?
I'm going Red Vengers. I just like Red Vengers.
All right.
You can call Red. We'll see.
I was just trying to think about what's the bad guys. It's more Red Suicide Squad. Because it's really maybe, bad guys trying to be good.
I like Red Vengers, but they're trying to do what they think is right. So I call them Red Vengers.
Okay.
But you can call them whatever you want. It's the internet. It's free. Just don't call them Tom's bitches. That's all I ask. All I ask. All right. Well, you want to go into some characters? Was there any music this
week?
There
wasn't any music. Yeah. And then again, but
besides Dave Porter's,
we do have the playlist up there. If you want to relive all the great music from before over on the website, both Apple and Spotify at theblacklistexposed.com. Send a note. Tell them you want to hear some tunes. I mean, at least we could have gotten "You Don't Bring Me Flowers Anymore."
Oh my God. I don't know what the music budget is these days, or what the expense is these days. I mean, to get a song. So many songs are really expensive.
Really anymore. Expensive. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like the old days where you could get all kinds of new music and everything else. If you have any kind of a hit.
And honestly, to be fair, fortune. Like, you know, I've been a Grey's Anatomy watcher since the beginning. And yes, I have to sit and watch another season because it was just renewed. But
you don't have to.
I would much.
You could literally just stop watching it.
It's a completionist thing in me. I have to finish.
Isn't like it's called Grey's Anatomy, but isn't Grey not even in it anymore?
Spoiler alert. Hello. That just happened this year.
I don't give a shit. I don't watch it.
But on that show, what they do for music is that they'd have like covers of the original song. And sometimes the covers are pretty decent and sometimes the covers are really horrible. So I'd much rather just listen to the Dave Porter backing music than have a really bad cover show up on the show. Because I think that would be a disservice to music as the character as it's been over the last 9 seasons.
I want to know. Why don't they change the name to like Steve's Anatomy or something?
We're talking about the music on the Blacklist and you're stuck on Gray.
I'm just saying. I don't understand this show. Like, the whole reason for the show is gone and you're still going. Let it end. Let it end. It's like if Spader left and they just kept doing the Blacklist. Why would you want to watch that?
I don't know.
I mean, it's nothing against the show. It's just like the purpose of the show has ended. I mean, honestly,
the purpose of the show would have ended in season 8.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
I know. Backtracking myself. Well, let's get into characters. Dembe's not feeling well. He's taking a sick day. We've all been there, right? We've all been there. Hopefully he still had those COVID days from left over from before. But Wrestler, he doesn't want to help Red. Shocker. He believes this is that the actual murder was payback for putting Senior in the jail. We did get a moment with Senior. What did you think about the mobster aspect of this? That felt pretty, when you talk about by the numbers, I mean, when you have a mobster. But I like the idea of a mobster being framed, I guess.
Yeah, and I think it was cool that Wrestler had to actually say, hey, you know, I'm actually not here. I'm actually on your side. You know, just kind of work with me, dude. Like, give me some intel. Help me out. So from that aspect, it was kind of nice to see Wrestler kind of have to be the put in his place instead of being just the, you know, hard cop, being like, yeah, you always do this stuff. Yeah, you always, you know, make mayhem wherever you go, blah, blah, blah. Like, this was kind of cool to see a different side of Wrestler who had to actually be empathetic to Bruno Sr.
And we did get some fun moments with Wrestler and Sia interrogating some really weird people. That was actually, I like that bit. That was a good time.
Yeah.
And we also learned that there are foosball tournaments.
I'm all down for that.
We should take it very, very seriously. It reminds me, we both have a buddy that does a, what is it called? Beer pong? Beer pong. Does a beer pong tournament. And if you make fun of it, he gets very, very defensive about it because he thinks you should take it a lot more seriously.
It's a hard sport.
It's a skill. Hard? Really? Difficult? Is it?
If you're inebriated.
Sure. I mean, I think sometimes we get a little crazy with the word skill. That's what I think. I think sometimes we get a little crazy with the word skill. But foosball is a hard game to play.
It is. Especially if you do the no spinning rule.
What's the no spinning rule?
Where you can't actually have your players rotate the full 360 degrees. You have to, it's strictly wrist flick mechanics versus just
spin the
crap out of the thing until you hit the ball.
That's usually how I play. I just keep rolling the guy over until he hits the ball.
Yeah, no, you have to. Yeah, no spinning rule makes it a lot more competitive.
I guess I'd get be put in the timeout chair or whatever.
Yeah,
penalty box.
You get rolled down a little chute and then they bat you around for a while.
Be a folding chair in the corner. That's what. That's what it'd be. All right,
bouncing ping pong balls in a cup. Pass the time.
I do think that little bit where Herbie was funny. And that's where I see where you were talking about the Aram connection, is that I could totally see that bit happening with Aram there. and him and Russ are going back and forth about foosball.
Yeah.
And I think it wouldn't fit. So that's kind of, he's filling that mold for right now. Sia has a meet cute with Herbie and the baby. I kind of like that because, you know, you kept looking for that maternal instinct and she does not have one.
And
she's very much like, I am out of this. I do not want any part of it.
Definitely kind of smitten, right?
Well, one, how could you not? She's adorable. Two, he's married though, isn't he? Isn't he married?
He was like, I was like, dude, you're got a wife.
Yeah, but she's very attractive. And he was just, I think, you know, enamored.
Yeah.
I don't think he wanted to have a fling or anything. He was just enamored. Plus, he'd been stuck with a baby all day. That'll make it gaga.
It's kind of hard to tell. See, it kind of looked like she might have been interested too.
I think she just liked him as a person.
Yeah.
That's funny. They find out, or Herbie figures out, the judge would have been paralyzed, so she couldn't have written Bruno. But again, I say, nobody thinks that she couldn't have typed that before she got slashed in the back. Like, she is over the laptop, she types in Bruno and then gets slashed in the back. That seems pretty plausible.
Yeah, because she did get slashed in the front, so you could still have blood on the keyboard.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? This is why I'm not a detective, I guess. Just an internet one. And speaking of the detective, let's go to Robert Vesco. And why I say speaking of detective is because if you ever listen to Sword and Scale, which I do all the time, Stacy Keach is on every episode at the beginning. Sword and Scale is, da-da-da-da. He does the intro.
He does.
Fun fact. Mm-hmm. Sure does. Tells me all about that. This episode's going to have themes of violence. So be careful. It's dangerous. It's going to hurt your ears. Well, Robert Vesco doesn't start to accept Wu Xing's thoughts at first. He's like, hell no, Red would never do this. And then Wu Xing tells him that he's assembling Red's Vengers. I'm keeping that going. A team of old adversaries, which is what we kind of wanted at the finale, right, of last year. That's what we hope we're building to. We build to this massive team of people coming after Red, like an almost impossible force. If you take them one at a time, it's kind of like, I don't know, watching a Chuck Norris movie. Like, why is everybody coming at this guy one at a time? Come at him all at once. Let's get some excitement going.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're 5 episodes in and there is still just Wu Xing.
True. Ah. But does it make you feel better that you know it's coming to some degree?
I guess. I knew it was coming at the finale last year.
All right, that's a good point. You want to start seeing it.
Let's start footing it together. Let's start going... I think it should be Red and Wu Xing chasing down the Blacklister, and then does it end on Red's side or does it end on Wu Xing's side? That should have been every episode this season.
Yeah, I feel like they should all be working together already, or at least be building, like a bunch of them are working together, and then they're trying to pick them off one by one.
Yeah.
That seems like what we should be doing.
The fact that Red and Wu Xing got together so early in the season versus like using the Blacklisters that were coming after him to get information on Wu Xing's intel to find Wu Xing eventually, because he didn't know who was the one that was actually coming after him. I think that would have been
right.
A cooler play.
Well, we'll see where it goes. Wu Xing wants Vesco in on this because Vesco has a lot of inside knowledge to Red. And
he was the most recent to be in jail. So he might have the most, pent up anger for the situation.
True, but he's very close to Red, kind of the mentor, so knows a lot. And I know he's not wanting Vesco to kill him or anything, because Vesco's not really a murderer. He's a con man.
Right.
That's essentially his game. So that's not something that I think he's really aiming for. It's just he's looking at somebody on the inside to take him down. Well, Vesco goes and confronts Red right
immediately.
Right immediately. And so he tells Wu Xing, it doesn't pay me at all. He's basically implying to Wu Xing that he's game going after Red because that son of a bitch double crossed me. But the trick is he really?
Because we don't see the conversation between Red and Robert.
Right. So Vesco tells Wu Xing, and you know, we talked about it earlier. If you didn't see it, it didn't happen the way you think it happened.
TV 102.
Just like if you didn't see the body, probably not dead.
Right.
Well, we did see Liz's body. Just so you know. So don't expect any surprise ending of the season where she shows up. But it's a Blacklist. You never know. I would take it. I'll be honest. I would take it. So Vesco tells Wu Jing that Red confessed. Is Vesco an inside man? What say you?
Vesco is Red's inside man, 100%.
So he is an inside man, but not for Wu Jing.
But not for Wu Jing.
Yep, I'm with you.
He's all fake.
Now, let me ask you. Do you think Red told Vesco the whole truth?
I think
nothing but the truth.
I think he told him enough. Yeah, because he took off his hat. He takes off his hat and has a sit-down chat. You know, he's going to basically be divulging enough information that needs to happen for Red to get the plan the way Red wants to get the plan. I mean,
do you think he talked about Elizabeth Keen?
Yeah, I think so. I worked with him because Keen was there, and Keen was my informant, and Keen was giving me the intel, and he wasn't telling him exactly what Keen was. You know, that's my daughter. But he said, yeah, the reason why I was there was because of Keen. I had people that I worked with in the past that basically gave birth to Keen, and Keen was there, and Keen was giving me intel, and Keen was the one that was helping me do stuff, and it helped further the empire that basically pays the way for you, Vesco, to like help me give you money and stuff and give us all the adventures that we go on. Like, someone's got to pay for that. Why not end up, but be the government? Let's screw them over. Ah, that's great, Red. Ha, ha, ha. Awesome story.
So what did you think about last character, Red? Drops over on Herbie and the baby, being invited, of course. And Red loves the baby. Red's having a great time with the baby. Red very much has that maternal instinct. So what do you think about Red this week? He didn't really get a lot to do. And also, I should mention, he has a call at one point where a crew is working on something. I don't think we know what that is, that I recall.
Yeah, it was either the cruise ship building that he's still converting into a new black site, potentially, or some future project that we'll see coming up down the road.
We've been taking little hints of that throughout the season. So that's building to something bigger.
Yeah. He's not going to be in the bathhouse for forever.
Yeah, there's something coming. I don't know what it is, but there's something coming.
I also like that they have to remind us in the episode that it's at the public bathhouse with the New York public bathhouse shot. Established location.
Nice. Nice. So what do you think? Because Red's barely, he's really not in this episode a ton.
Yeah, no, it was a cute moment with the baby, kind of like, especially the one part where he kisses the baby the second time when the baby's actually looking at him. And he's just like, oh, it's so sweet. Why he has to crash for the evening at Herbie's place, that's an interesting one, because he had the bed made up with the sheets and everything. And then you have the whole just him just kind of not being there again this week. Like, he gives Cooper the information. Like, you don't even get like the lowdown. It's Cooper and Red on the phone. They don't even meet face to face to get the intel for the case. Like, it was almost costing us double the money to have them on screen at the same time.
Maybe. I'm pretty sure Spader's check's the same no matter how much he's in the shot. Yeah, I did like that where he stayed with Herbie, though. I mean, it showed that Red's not as bougie as he once was.
Well, no, because he didn't take the express train. He took the local.
Yeah, he's just like, he's living that retired life. He's just taking buses and trains and really relaxing and not worrying about a detail. And like, he's out there in the open. I don't understand what Wu Jing's waiting for. You could easily take him out. Why? What is the problem?
Especially because Red has been talking a lot about enjoying the small things. Like, there wasn't... Yeah, it's not a good thing to like express through all those stops. Every one of those stops is worth stopping at and taking, you know, smelling the flowers, for lack of a better example. Mm-hmm.
The corpse flowers.
He's and he's talking about time and how time is a precious commodity or whatever, and... So he's talking like the end of his life is coming. I don't know if you picked up on that in his conversation with Herbie.
Yeah, very, very much. I think he's been doing that a lot. Like, he's ready to go. He's done.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have a whole lot left to live for. Agnes is taken care of. Liz is gone. He's kind of failed in a lot of his mission. So at this point, I think he's just done. Very, very tired, and doesn't. I feel like the mission is the only thing that's really keeping him going. At this point, like, he doesn't want them to one-up him.
Right. And he doesn't even really had a mission until he found out that Wu Jing was coming after him. Now he's just basically take out Wu Jing before Wu Jing takes out me.
Yep. That's what it feels like. All right. Well, I think that's it for this episode. We do have some listener feedback that's going to lead to another question I have, but I'll wait until we get there. Before we get there, I want to take a second to say thank you to those of you that are supporting the show by going to Patreon. That's Patreon, patreon.com/theblacklistgsm. That's patreon.com/theblacklistGSM. Special big thanks to our honorary blacklister, Patricia. Also, special shout out to our task force members, Marilyn, Cindy, James, Jens, Joanne, Johnny, Justin, Karen, Catherine, Sharon, Lacey Ann, Vanessa, and Emily, all official task force members. Thank you all so much. All those people receive very cool gifts from us, and you can get one too if you donate at the $20 level or higher. If you want a cool t-shirt or a coffee mug, all you have to do is hit that $20 level for a few months and you get the cool gifts.
And we are putting out the podcast early for all of you patrons, $5 or higher. So make sure you head on over to Patreon so you can get the episode before anyone else. Patreon.com/theblacklistGSM as in Mary. Click on the dollar sign in your podcast app, fill the fedora on the website, and you can get cool rewards for helping us out. Stay tuned. All your thoughts coming up right after this.
You obviously love podcasts, but are you also a fan of movies and television? Do you want to listen to a show that reviews entertainment honestly and casts pretentiousness to the wind? That debates both film and TV topics in a fun, good-spirited way, while still getting to the heart of why we all love them so much? Then don't miss the award-winning weekly podcast, The Hollywood Outsider, now available on your favorite podcast app or at TheHollywoodOutsider.com.
Hey, Blacklist fans. This is Annie Heise, a.k.a. Elise, a.k.a. Janet, a.k.a. you get it. You're listening to The Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
All right. Special Agent Indel. These are thoughts, some of your thoughts from the fan community. Eric Howery checked in. Just wanted to say that both the episode and the podcast were great last week. Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, Eric.
Chuck Gibbons. This is the first email. Well, message in our Facebook group. Chuck says, first, I really miss when the Blacklisters had some actual title read.
Me too,
Chuck.
Now
we just get some... Me too. I mean, yeah. I mean, even when the number's there, they're not really connected anymore. Now we just get some random criminal of the week. Second, I assume that Red somehow talked Vesco into spying for him with Wu Jing, but I guess we'll see. 1 week closer to the end. Much like March in Canada, the Blacklist came in like a lion in season one and seems to be going out like a lamb in season 10. Damn.
Yeah. I mean, they couldn't even hold this episode for next week, right? Because it would have been April, and then April showers would have bring May flowers.
Oh, my God. Stop it.
Angela. Stop it. That, go ahead.
Should say that that's quite the comment from Chuck. Chuck is an avid fan of the Blacklist. I mean, avid fan. He writes dissertations every week. I mean, he's a huge fan of the show.
Yeah, he's analyzing beyond even our analyzation sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a word, analyzation?
I don't know. Not at all. Not even a little bit. Nope.
Angela Raven said, not enough red in the episode and too much exposition on the mystery. Even when Robert and Wu Jing were talking to each other, it was all exposition. Like, yep. Just blah, 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 blah. Even Vesco said blah, 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 blah twice. The show's always guilty of too much exposition. I'm positive that Robert Vesco is on Red's side and will simply be the inside man for our Red on the long con. Red James kissing the baby and smiling at her when she unexpectedly looked up at him. Aw, so adorable and sweet.
Blah, 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 blah.
Should we do a whole podcast?
You do it like
in the Charlie Brown.
Why'd you move the football? Damn it.
Again.
All right. Lastly, Jen Bell. Raymond Reddington, based on a switcheroo with his twin brother, both would have identical twins sharing the same DNA. With all the episodes that showed twins and triplets, it's quite possible that Reddington had a switcheroo with his twin brother. Something no one would even guess. Very little clues. That's how it's going to end. Not something obvious like we're discussing. Okay. Well, number one, someone would guess that. We talked about that. That's what we talked about the first early seasons as the most plausible theory outside of Katarina.
It's also on the DVD and the special extras of season 6.
Yep.
By Aaron himself.
Yep, we had a whole discussion on it. It's on the box. So if you go find those special features, what was it? Season 4?
Six.
Season 6. Okay. We are actually on there discussing that on the Blacklist DVD. So yeah, it's been discussed. I hate it. I hate it even as a possibility since it's never, ever been part of canon of the show at all. To me, when you do, if you did that, let me tell you, we'd be walking out of this show with some level of hate you've never seen before from me. It's just that's a factor of the show I want no part of.
Yeah, personally. I hope they do not go there.
Yeah, that would be, I already feel like, and here's where my question is. Okay, so your longstanding theory has been that Red is Katarina. I came on board in season fact. 8. I feel like, I feel like it's a fact at this point.
Answer done in the grave.
And my argument to that would be, if you've noticed ever since the end of season 8, which I feel like they answer that pretty clearly, you know, they didn't come out and say, point a finger at a picture of Katarina and be like, that was me, you know, because that's silly and ridiculous, but they wrapped it up. Since then, there has been no mythology about who Raymond Reddington is. There has not been any. In their mind, they answered it. If anything, they've had a few scenes to reinforce it so it was clearer to people that didn't think that. So to my mind, it's been put to bed. I know people want him to say it, but I don't know if he's ever going to say it. I feel like they're probably going to touch on it again at the end of the season. But the mythology portion, which was so prominent for 8 years, it was always in there, stopped. Would you not agree with that?
I would 100% agree with that.
And that has nothing to do with the fact that you were on that bandwagon, right? Because no. I was not on that bandwagon, and I still say that.
Yeah, season 9 was who killed Liz and why. Nothing about Red's identity at all. And then this season is all about why does Wu Jing want Red dead? And nothing about the mythology at all. There's no, I feel like the lexical ambiguity is even taken out of the show. I mean, you could say, oh yeah, Robert Vesco, is he not, blah, blah, blah. But it's so obvious that he's not because of the way they set it up without having the conversation that you just, I mean, everybody and even the fans are like, yeah, Vesco's totally not going to turn on Red. Vesco's totally not going to, if Vesco turned on Red, that would be a surprise. That would be a shock because that's not the way the show portrayed the information.
Yeah. So my, I guess all that to say, here's my question. If they did something like that, where they made it twins at the end or triplets, and I do not think the show is going to do this. I really don't. There's been no seed planted. I mean, I get there's been twins and triplets, but that's also because you have 22 episodes and they're just trying to find stuff to do. So how would you feel? Even if, I mean, if it was something that was plausible, I know you would not like it, but you would get on board because I know you feel pretty comfortable where we are. But if they went something like that where it was completely out of left field, how would you feel?
If they went out of left field and changed the end of season 8, I would call iTunes and return my payments that I made to iTunes to buy season 9 and 10.
I don't think iTunes does those refunds.
Damn it, that's $60. That $60 mean the world to me. They retcon this shit.
So here's my other question. Is there any piece of you that has a spot open for a different ending should they go that way?
No, not at this point.
Yeah,
no, there's no reason to retcon it. The story is the story. It's been told, it's done, it's there. Now we're on to different stories.
That's kind of where I'm at.
It's a story, and it's what fans had asked for. Like, let's just get back to talking about blacklisters. We're back talking about blacklisters.
Not this week.
Well, he was kind of a blacklister. I mean, he had buried bodies with the flower thing. It just has nothing to do with Red's overall mission.
Guy was a serial killer. He was a stalker and a serial killer. I don't really know what, you know, what benefit that came to Red. So he's not a blacklister.
Yeah.
And hey, I mean, Jen or anybody else out there debating, I was on your side for a long time. Like, I just didn't, I mean, I saw it as a remote possibility, but then every season it got a little closer and then season 8 locked it to me. Like, there's no debate for me. It's just, I will be the first to tell you if there's any piece of me that has that spot open and I just don't see it. If there were, I would gladly discuss it. It just hasn't been there to discuss.
He's not blowing smoke because he would love for nothing more than me to be wrong and put in my place. Mm-hmm.
Feels good. It'd feel right. But, you know, sometimes you get a win. I just wanted to talk about that a little bit.
And hey, brought it up, and so. We're all winning. We still got, you know, 17 episodes left of this season, and it might even carry on to the fall. So
I think it's got to, right? They're not going to run Blacklist in the summer. I know we talked about that a little bit, but I haven't seen confirmation yet that they're going to split the season up.
Yeah, the episode schedule that I saw posted, which again, you don't know if that's totally true or if that's, you know, press released or anything, or people just guessing based on what they've seen in pictures and whatnot. But the final episode, the 12th episode of the season, looks like it would air right around Memorial Day, which would be in the United States, which would be the typical end of the TV season. So it seems like that's a good place for them to end and then have 10 held over for the fall, where they could do the standard 9-episode run up to Thanksgiving with a 2-hour finale.
Yeah, because we got a whole bunch of stuff going on.
Yeah.
So we definitely can't.
Summer's busy. Please don't air anything over the summer.
Yeah, we're going on vacation together. We'll be gone. So yeah. Like in June, we're gone for a couple weeks, and I'm working for a couple weeks. I mean, it's near impossible. So I really hope they split it up because I'm selfish. It's all about me.
I'm doing a couple bike adventures on Sundays in the summer. So yeah.
Nice. I got to get riding my bike. If it stopped snowing in the Midwest, yeah, I'd be able to do that.
Did you get snow?
Mm-hmm.
I got nothing.
5 inches.
Nothing here at all. Green grass, 1 hour south.
Must be nice. 5 inches. That's five inches.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And also, that's what she said. Well, that will conclude this discussion. So now is the time to recommend The Blacklist to your friend, your enemy, or your neighbor. And when you do, please also recommend they listen and subscribe to the Blacklist Exposed podcast. All the case profiles can be found at theblacklistexposed.com and everywhere great podcasts can be heard.
And Aaron and I are doing another podcast, The Hollywood Outsider. So make sure you check out @BuyPopcorn on Twitter. Also, you can check out me @TroyHeinrichs, him @AaronSmirks, and we are The Blacklist GSM. Follow along, talk about the show or the podcast, and just enjoy the ride for the last however many we get this year, this TV season.
And big thanks for listening. Don't forget to answer our profiling question. Are you a fan of Blacklisters that are not connected to Red?
Yeah. Do you like Blacklister New York edition?
Blacklister New Orleans, Blacklister Miami,
Blacklister DC.
I'm surprised they didn't try that. Instead of Redemption, I should have done one of those. Blacklister Hawaii.
Hey, Hawaii is good. No. I like Hawaii.
I love Hawaii. I love Hawaii. I mean, that's a set I want to visit.
For sure. All right. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Until next time, I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs. That's @TroyHeinrichs on Twitter. And if you want to learn more about me, just visit, well, about.me/TroyHeinrichs.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson. You can hear me talking about movies and TV on the Hollywood Outsider podcast, as well as Remake This Movie Right. We are available at thehollywoodoutsider.com or on Twitter @5Popcorn. Be sure to subscribe, download the app, submit your feedback, but most importantly, keep yourself off of
the Blacklist.
The Blacklist Exposed is a Golden Spiral Media production. Find more of our great podcasts at goldenspiralmedia.com/podcasts.